Please pay respect to the Buddha by reciting Namo Tassa 3 times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Yesterday we had already discussed about the Bindi origination partially. If you want to understand the Bindi origination thoroughly, a few more past lives will be necessary. Usually we teach up to 5th or 6th past lives. What is the reason? The reason is in one of previous lives, you may have accumulated wholesome dhammas, such as discerning ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality. Such wholesome dhammas are called parami. Parami, they translate parami as perfection. Whether it is true or not, I don't know. Parami means the fundamental cause for realization of Four Noble Truths. This is called parami. Such wholesome dhammas are called parami. Usually I research many meditators. They had been practiced anambana in one of previous life. Such meditators are many. Some meditators, they had been practiced kasinas in one of their previous lives. Some meditators, they already discerned ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality in one of previous lives. This is very important. Very important means always I try to check then to compare. Now you are discerning ultimate materiality and mentality. In the same way, in one of previous life, you also had already discerned ultimate materiality and mentality. Is there any difference? Usually I always check. Many meditators inform me, all are same. If they want to understand ultimate materiality, how they should begin in one of previous life. Always they inform me that they already practice four elements meditation systematically. This is very important. Now it is many meditators, they want to practice vipassana, but they do not try to understand ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality. This is problem only. According to Buddha's teaching, without understanding ultimate materiality, ultimate mentality, and their causes, if they practice vipassana, their vipassana is only just superficial, not real, deep vipassana. So because of this reason, parami is sometimes necessary. Necessary means there are some stories. In the time of Buddha, there was Sicchaka Paribhajaka. He had accumulated in one of previous lives parami, but his parami is not yet mature. One day, he debate with Buddha. Five aggregates are another, but Buddha explained in detail, five aggregates are another. While expounding these two long suttas, Sula Sicchaka Sutta, Maha Sicchaka Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya. At that time, in his mind, he understood five aggregates are anicca, dukkha, and anatta. But he did not confess they are anatta, because he had a lot of shame in front of his disciples, who are literally princes. In front of them, he don't want to confess fight against another. Why? He already boasted. Fight against another. He already told them. So because of this reason, in front of his disciples, he don't want to confess his ability or his understanding is wrong. So because of this reason, he did not attain any higher noble achievement. He cannot become Sotapanna, etc. But when he is discussing with Buddha, he understood five aggregates are another. This understanding becomes parami for him. Because of this parami, after Mahaprinibbana of our Buddha, more than 200 years later, between 200 and 300, after that he became a famous raha in Sri Lanka, called Mahagala Buddha Rakhida. So, parami is necessary because of this reason. But after you had been already there some cause and effect in few past lives, then you should go on to there some cause and effect in the same way in future. How you should try to discern? You should discern at the present. Ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality, internally and externally. After that, now you should go forward. Slowly you should try to discern ultimate materiality, mentality. Come tomorrow, materiality, mentality. The day after tomorrow, ultimate materiality, mentality. In this way, slowly go up to a time of that moment. In time of that moment, if you are sure to continue new existence, near that proximate moment at the devil, one of signs appear. These signs are three types, karma or karma nimitta or kati nimitta. Karma means at the devil you are doing some wholesome dhammas. You may see some wholesome dhammas. For example, now the at present, you already accumulated wholesome dhammas such as anapana. Near that moment also again, you are practicing anapana. If you already attain anapana jhana, near that moment also, when you practice anapana, you can attain that jhana. Okay. So that jhana, if you attain that jhana, if you remember that jhana, wholesome dhammas, this is called karma. But sometimes you may already focus on your anapana paribhaga nimitta kaundapasai. In time of that, if you see this nimitta is karma nimitta, sign of karma. Sometimes you may see your destination, future life, such as Deva mentions, etc., Brahma mentions, etc. So you can see this sign also. This is called Gati Nimitta, sign of destination. So one of these three nimittas appear usually. If you, in the same way, when you are accumulating wholesome dhammas, such as donation put to the yogis, meditators, etc., such wholesome dhammas are ready to produce in this result. Then at the end of death, you may remember this wholesome dhammas again, or you may see the receivers, or you may see offerings such as books. These are the sign of karma, karma nimitta. Sometimes you may see your destination. If this karma will produce new ages in Deva world, then you can see in devas or the mentions in Deva world. Such is called Gati Nimitta, the sign of destination. At that time, one of the signs is Abhya. Then if you pay attention near that moment, wholesome dhammas, then you may see one type of wholesome dhamma produce this sign. Then that wholesome dharma is very important. At that time, especially one of inclination is always appear. Inclination to one of new existence. For example, if you incline to become deva, if you understand deva, this is wrong understanding. This is called ignorance, avijja. If you have attachment any deva life, this is called craving. Repeated attachment to the deva life is called klinge upadana. These avijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, upadana, klinge, these three are called development rounds, kilesa, vada. Based on this kilesa, vada, you had accumulated wholesome dharma such as donation to the meditators. Such wholesome dhammas are called sankhara. But these sankharas are also nature impermanent. As soon as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. But they left behind sankamic force, which can produce new existence in deva world. So this karmic force is called karma. Altogether, there are five causes. Ignorance, craving, clinging, volitional formations, and karmic force. Altogether, five causes. These five causes will produce new existence, new five aggregates in deva world. So these five aggregates are resultant rounds. Sankhara informations are called karma round, karma vada. So kilesa vada, karma vada, and vibhaga vada. Development round, formation rounds, karma round, and resultant round. All together, three rounds, they are circulating. If you see this karma produce new five aggregates, again you should try to discern ultimate materiality and mentality in future existence up to near death moment. In the same way, if there is any new other future existence, you will see any sign in time of death moment. And then you can again research your five causes. Ignorance, craving, clinging, volitional formations, and karmic force. Then this karmic force, if you see, then you should try to see that karmic force produce another future new existence. In this way, you must discern cause and effect up to the end of round or rebirth. Some meditators in first future life, they can see their life, their final cessation state. Some meditators, they can see in second future life, their final cessation state. So, for some meditators, there may be more future lives. So, up to that cessation state, you must try to understand dependent origination. What is the reason? If you want to practice vipassana, this is systematic way is necessary. Now, I want to repeat again. In every siddhi, you should re-establish your fourth jhana. If you are practicing anapana, then every siddhi you should re-establish your fourth jhana concentration. When your fourth jhana concentration produces brilliant light, at that time, you should discern ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality. Why we should discern? The reason is systematic way. Samudhya dhamma nubhasiva gaya same viharati. Vaya dhamma nubhasiva gaya same viharati. Samudhya vaya dhamma nubhasiva gaya same viharati. This is first stage in vipassana. What does the meaning? He abides contemplating the body as body internally. Or he abides contemplating the body as body externally. Or he abides contemplating the body as body both internally and externally. This is the first step for vipassana. What is the meaning? I already explained this meaning. You must discern ultimate materiality and ultimate mentality internally and externally both. After that, what you should do? Samudaya dhamma nubhasi vagaya same viharati. Vaya dhamma nubhasi vagaya same viharati. Samudaya vaya dhamma nubhasi vagaya same viharati. Or he abides contemplating in the body the rising phenomena. Or he abides contemplating in the body its passing or perishing phenomena or dissolution phenomena. Or he abides contemplating in the body both rising phenomena and dissolution phenomena. What is the meaning? In this case, three insight knowledges combined together. What are three insight knowledges? Number one is the knowledge of discerning cause and condition. Pichya pariga jnana. Number two is samasana jnana, the knowledge of comprehension. Number three is udiyabhya jnana, the knowledge of rising and passing away. These three knowledges Buddha combined together. So number one, you must try to discern cause and condition. You must define cause and condition, past, present, and future, up to the end of final cessation state. After that only, you should try vipassana, the knowledge of comprehension, samasana jnana. How you should contemplate? You must contemplate ultimate materiality or ultimate mentality as anicca or dukkha or anatta. For example, if you emphasize ultimate materiality as anicca, then you must try to see past ultimate materiality. Then you should, as soon as they arise, they pass away very, very quickly. So they are anicca impermanent. Then you should contemplate then seeing this impermanent nature as anicca, anicca, anicca in this way. Both internally and externally again and again. If you had already contemplated anicca, then you can continue to contemplate them as dukkha also. When they are dukkha, they are always oppressed by rising and passing away, so they are dukkha, suffering. There is no permanent entity or permanent substance in them, so they are another non-self. So, after contemplating as dukkha, then you should also continue to contemplate them as another. This contemplation as anicca, dukkha, and another is called vipassana. What is the object of vipassana? Number one, ultimate materiality. Number two, ultimate mentality. Number three, their causes or dependent origination. So these three are the object of vipassana. After contemplating ultimate materiality as anicca, dukkha, anatta, both internally and externally, in the same way you must contemplate ultimate mentality as anicca, dukkha, and anatta, both internally and externally. Then you should also contemplate past five aggregates, future five aggregates as anicca, dukkha, anatta in the same way. Then you should also try to discern their causes, and then causes are also anicca, dukkha, anatta. Effects are also in the same way anicca, dukkha, and anatta. You must contemplate them as again and again as anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Both internally and externally again and again. If you practice in this way, slowly your insight becomes sharp. When your insight becomes sharp, then at that time you will clearly see in every mind moment rising and passing away clearly. At that time you can continue udiyabhya jnana stage. The knowledge of rising and passing away. You should try moment by moment rising and passing away of these formations, and you must contemplate them as nature, dukkha, and another. Again, again. While you are contemplating in this way, if you understand the nature, dukkha, and another nature of formations moment by moment clearly, then you must practice another way, causal rising and passing away. What is causal rising and passing away? Because of the rising of causes, five aggregates arise. This is called causal rising. But because of the complete cessation of five causes, five aggregates cease completely without remainder. This is causal passing away, or dissolution phenomena. So, when your five aggregates cease completely without remainder, when five causes will cease completely without remainder, if you will become Arahat in this very life, then when you begin Arahat at the day, five causes will cease completely without remainder. Or if you will begin Arahat in coming future life, in that future life, five causes will cease completely without remainder. Or in one of another future life, if you will begin Arahat, in that future life, when you begin Arahat, your five causes will cease completely without remainder. Why? When you are Arahant but realize Nibbana, Asankhata Dhatu, unconditioned element, you are Arahant but will destroy defilements completely without remainder. Because of the complete cessation of defilements, your karmas before you are attaining Arahant stage cannot produce any new existence. They have no power to produce any new existence because they have no inclination or no attachment to new existence. Because of this reason, their karma cannot produce any new existence. Before the attaining Arahat, they had already accumulated many wholesome and unwholesome dhammas. But these wholesome and unwholesome dhammas cannot produce any new existence because there is no supporting cause such as craving or attachment to the new existence. Because of this reason, their karma cannot produce new existence. If their karma cannot produce new existence at the final cessation stage, when they take pre-nibbana, final cessation, after that final cessation, there will be no new existence. Five aggregates will cease completely without remainder. That complete cessation state is called Nirodha Sijja. That Nirodha Sijja is the object of Vipassana insight, not the object of Path and Fruition knowledge. The object of the Path and Fruition knowledge is called Nibbana. That Nibbana is unconditioned element. That unconditioned element, Nibbana, is Subramande. Now, when you are practicing Uriyabhya Jnana stage, you see, because of the complete cessation of five causes, five aggregates cease completely without remainder. This complete cessation, both cause and effect. These two types of complete cessation is not the object of Path and Fruition knowledge. This is the object of Vipassana insight only. So because of this reason, this cessation is called Nirodha Sijja. But this Nirodha Sijja is the object of Vipassana. Then there is also another Nirodha Sijja. This is Nibbana, unconditioned element, Asankhata Dhatu. This is the object of Path and Fruition knowledge. This is Subramande Nirodha Sijja. So there are two types of Nirodha Sijjas. The Buddha emphasized one type of Nirodha Sijja in this Mahasivarana Sutta when they are practicing Uriyabhya Jnana stage. But later, when they practice vipassana systematically, one day they may realize nibbana. At that time, Buddha also explained unconditioned element asangata dhatu, subramandai nirodha sitya. So, if you want to practice vipassana, you should practice systematically. This is important. This system is mentioned in Mahasri Prana Sutta. Mahasri Prana Sutta is the very famous sutta in Theravada teaching. How you should practice samatha and vipassana systematically, Buddha taught in this sutta. So because of this reason, if you practice samatha as well as vipassana according to sutta, it is sure. Sure is one day, if your barami becomes mature, you can realize nirvana. Or you can attain nirvana, you can become arahat. So today, I will stop my Dhamma talk here, but there are many question answers. We shall continue to discuss about question answers.
For tonight's questions, we are giving concentration to questions related to this meditation retreat. General questions will be put later.
No, thank you. Excuse me, new question. Maybe yesterday, number 30. Number 30 question.
Next question. What are the five factors? What colors are these five factors? How to see it? Can Sayadaw please explain? I repeat. What are the five factors?
Five channel factors.
What colors are these five factors? How to see it? Can Sayadaw please explain?
If you want to understand five channel factors clearly, then you should practice up to Vipassana stage. It is better. So, there are five jhana phetas. Number one, vijjaga. Number two, vichara. Number three, piti. Number four, sukha. Number five, egagda. Vijjaga, vichara, piti, sukha, egagda. What is vijjaga? When you are practicing anapana, when your concentration becomes mature, you may see anapana padibhaga nimeda, counterpart sign, transparent bright nimeda. Taking this transparent bright nimeda, full absorption will arise. That full absorption called jhana, concentration, jhana absorption. At the time, five jhana pedas are clear. What are five jhana pedas? Number one, vijjaga. Initial obligation of the mind to the anapana paribhaga nimeda object. At that time, you must apply your mind to the anapana paribhaga nimeda object. If you do not apply, your concentration will drop. So, obligation of the mind to the anapana paribhaga nimeda object is necessary. Initial obligation of the mind to the anapana paribhaga nimeda is called vijjaga. Then, if you apply your mind only once on the anapana paribhaga nimitta, your mind will not stay with your anapana paribhaga nimitta. So you must repeat again and again. Such to that repetition is called vichara, sustained obligation of the mind to the anapana paribhaga nimitta object. So these two jhana phetas, vijjaga and vichara, are nearly similar, but they explain with example, when one a being, if she want to suck the liquid from the flower, they dive to the flower directly. That diving stage is called like vijjaga, initial obligation of the mind to the object. But before sucking the liquid from the flower, they are overflying around the flower. This over flying around the flower is called like vichara. Such strange obligation not the mind to the anapana pribhaga nimitta object. So, with such example, our committee is explaining vidyaka in vichara. If there are no vidyaka in no vichara, then your jhana absorption will pour down. At that time, you must apply your mind again and again to the anapana pribhaga nimitta object. Then another veda is piti. Piti, they translate sometimes joy, sometimes rapture. Rapturous mind. They have rapturous mind to the anapada pribhaga nimitta object. If there is no joyful, no joy, then they don't want to practice meditation. Because of this joy, they want to practice meditation. So this joy is one type of jhana pada. Then number four is sukha, happiness feeling. Piti and sukha also very close to each other, but piti usually produce emotion. Sukha produce happy feeling. Sometimes they translate sukha as bliss, but some Westerners, they don't like to translate sukha as bliss, because this is the usage of Christianity. In our Buddha's teaching, such type of bliss is not useful. So happiness or happy feeling, that happy feeling of the anapana pribhaga nimitta object. Then number five is egagata, one-pointedness. And then their mind stay on one object, anapana pribhaga nimitta only, without moving. This is called samadhi concentration. When at every mind moment has egagata, one-pointedness, but this is every egagata is not called samadhi. When mind stay on anapana pribhaga nimitta without moving, such type of one-pointedness is called samadhi concentration. So all together there are five jhana pedas. What colors are these five pedas? In Gaudara Nikaya, there is one sutta, Ichara Sangata Sutta. In that sutta, Buddha explained Bhunga mind do as Pabhasara Midam Bhikkhuve Chaita. Because this Bhunga Chaita is Pabhasara. What is the meaning of Pabhasara? Pabhasara is brilliant, shining brilliantly. In this case, there is one question. Is there any color of the mind? Any color in the mind? So, commentary explains, mentality has no color. Why Buddha taught, Pabhasara, brilliant, this mind? The reason is, Bhunga mind stick, Bhunga mind do can not shining, but that Bhunga mind can produce brilliant light. Midyapurigali, that light is called Bhunga. Real Bhunga mind mind state has no light, no color. Not only Bhunga mind state, but every mind state has no mind moment, has no color. Midyapurigali only Buddha says brilliant. Bhunga chaita as Pabhasara. So, in the same way, jhana pedas has no color. But jhana consciousness or jhana mental formations can produce light. Every mind moment which arises depending on your heart base can produce strong, powerful, superior mind produce kalapas, particles. These small particles are called kalapas in Pali. If we analyze these kalapas, in every kalapa, there are 8 types of materiality, such as earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, color, odor, flavor, nutritive essence. Among these 8, there is color. That color is called vana. That color becomes bright when concentration becomes deeper and deeper. That color becomes bright. But one mind moment can produce uncountable kalapas. Because of this reason, one kalapas color and another kalapas color combined together becomes bright, becomes light. Again, in those mind produce kalapas, there are fire elements. Each fire element can produce new kalapas. One fire element can produce uncountable kalapas. So in every kalapa of mind produce materiality, there are many fire elements. Every fire element can produce uncountable kalapas. Again, if we analyze these kalapas, in each kalapa, there are also, in the same way, 8 types of materiality. Among these 8 types, there is also color. That color also bright. One kalapa's color and another kalapa's color, they arise closely to each other. So, the combination of these 2 types of kalapas, mind produce kalapas and temperature produce kalapas, are called nimitta. So nimitta is produced by mind, but this is not the kala of mind, or this is not the kala of jhana pedas. In the same way, bhuvanga mind state also can produce uncountable mind produced kalapas. In each kalapa, there is also fire element. That fire element also can produce new kalapas. So in each kalapa, there are kalas. Combination of these 2 types of kalas are called bhuvanga, metaphorically only. Not really bhuvanga mind state has kala. In the same way, jhana phetas has also no kala. Jhana phetas have no kala. But jhana mind moment can produce this brilliant kala. So, including nimitta. But nimitta is especially on your nose field. This jhana mind moment can also produce brilliant lights around your body. When your concentration becomes deeper and deeper and becomes powerful, then this light may be spread up to maybe many, 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 up to the whole world. For example, especially some meditators, when they are discerning 32 paths internally and externally, when their discerning knowledge becomes sharper and sharper, they can see 32 paths very far away, up to the whole world, under the light. If they see anybody, any being, whether they are animal or human being, no problem. They can see 32 paths internally and externally. So their light at that time becomes powerful. In the same way, when they practice metta meditation, when they attain jhana, at that time also, they can see different types of beings, not only in this world, but also in other world systems, jagatwalas. The light of wisdom is very powerful. But for beginners, their light of wisdom is very weak. So, you should not disappoint. Please try diligently. One day, when your concentration becomes mature and becomes deeper and deeper, you can see also this light. So, my meaning is, every mind has no color. But every mind which arises depending on heart base can produce light, can produce color. But Some minds are very weak. They cannot produce strong, powerful light. But jhana concentration is very powerful consciousness. Such type of consciousness can produce strong, powerful light. So this light is metaphorically, they call this is the light of wisdom only. Okay, another question.
Question 14. In Akasata cha Bhumata Deva Naga, etc., etc., how do the Devas and Nagas protect the dispensation and the teaching?
This is a traditional way of reciting. Some Devas like Saka, they can also protect some dangers which can produce to the lay devotees or bhikkhus. For example, in Metta Sutta, previously some Devas, they gave disturbance to the bhikkhus. But later when they are concentrated, Metta Jhana becomes powerful. At that time, they got bhikkhus like their sons and daughters. How they got? They do what called, let's see what called, cleaning. Cleaning the compound. They carry water for bhikkhus. They protect any dangers such as in forest there are tigers, snakes, etc. These dangers they protect not to come this area. In this way they may protect. Sometimes there may be some robbers. They want to disturb to the meditators. Such robbers also they protect not to come here. How they do protect? They show different way. They do not show the right way. In the same way, if you are practicing meditation systematically, especially if you emphasize metta meditation, because of the power of this metta meditation, any danger cannot come because many devas protect to you. If you want the devas protect to you, then please practice metta jhana successfully. Okay. How they protect the teaching? In our human world, now our Kasava Buddha's dispensation also disappear. In the same way, many Buddha's dispensation also disappear. But in Brahma world, there are some Buddha's disciples are still alive. One day, our Buddha visit to the Sotawasa place. Sotawasa means pure abode. When they are called pure abode, not pure land, they may misunderstand and think pure land as this. Pure abode means there are only Anagami and Arahats. Anagami has no family. Arahat also no family. Is it pure or not? Very pure. They have no son, no daughter, no wife, no husband. So it is not necessary to quarrel between wife and husband. Is it true? Then it is pure or not? Very pure. So that pure abode, our Buddha never visited before. Why? When he is pulling his parami, he never reborn in Soda world because in Soda was a place because he was only waddling person, Buddhajana, when he is fulfilling his parami. As a Buddhajana, to be reborn in that pure abode is not possible. So because of this reason, one day he visited that pure abode. There are many Brahmas are welcoming to our Buddha. Yes, this is Bhante, I am the disciple of Vipassi Buddha. I am the disciple of Sikhi Buddha, etc. In this way, they they inform to the our Buddha. There are seven disciples of Buddha. There are Disciples of the seven Buddhas are still in Brahma world. Only in our human world, only here now, the disciple of our Gautama Buddha only. But in the Brahma world, there are still the disciples of seven Buddhas. So because of this reason, in our Pali text, sometimes Sansodas mentioned Namo Saddhana, Samma Sambuddhana, etc., such as Khanda Parida, etc. We pay respect to the seven Buddhas. This is because the disciples of seven Buddhas are still alive in Brahma world. So you can understand, they protect the teaching. Their teachings are still in Brahma world. Okay.
Next one. Theravada monks differ in their views on the Dharma. How do we know who is preaching the Dharma correctly? How do we know who the wise one is? I repeat, Theravada monks differ in their views on the Dharma. How do we know who is preaching the Dharma correctly? How do we know who the wise one is?
In our Theravada tradition, we emphasize Pali text. So if you want to understand the true Dhamma, then you should emphasize Pali text. But when you are emphasizing or when you are learning Pali text, you should try to learn under the guidance of skilled teacher. If teacher's view is wrong, you may also receive wrong view only. So because of this reason, teacher also very important. But Pali texts are very wide. So some teachers, they do not study Pali texts in detail. Because of this reason, their teachings are sometimes against with Pali texts. Because they do not study thoroughly Pali texts, especially some teachers, they do not believe Abhidhamma. This is a problem. So if they do not believe Abhidhamma, they will not emphasize Abhidhamma. They will understand the suttas only just superficially. For example, in another Lakana Sutta, Buddha teach to the five bhikkhus. Tasuma diha bhikkhu yangichi rupa didanagata bichopana ijadanwa bhidanwa olarigawa sukumawa hinawa padidanwa yandure sandigewa sabharupa nidamama nisoha masami namiso adadi iwamidan yatha buddha sama binyaya dadaban. In this way, Buddha instruct to the five bhikkhus. What is the meaning? Whether past or present or future. Whatever kind of materiality, whether past, present or future. Internal, external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, power or near. All 11 types of materiality you must contemplate as nature to another. In this way, Buddha instruct to the five group bhikkhus. They understand well. But nowadays, many teachers, they do not understand. Because, for example, past is finished. Already passed away. It is not necessary to reflect past. Future is not yet coming. It is not necessary to reflect future. So in this way they thought, because they cannot see past, they cannot see future. Because of this reason, they also teach present is important. Past and future are not important. So they reject the Buddha's teaching. But if you want to understand this teaching, then you should learn under the guidance of teacher. Because they do not believe the teachings thoroughly. If they have enough confidence in Buddha's teaching, they should try to understand the meaning of Buddha's teaching. Without understanding the meaning of the teaching, if they teach others, they may teach wrong teachings. So because of this reason, if you want to understand wrong teaching or right teaching, then you should emphasize the original Pali text. It is better. If the teaching is against with original Pali text, then you can decide this is wrong. If the teaching is in accordance with Pali text, then you can say this is right. So in this way, you should decide.
Question 16. Who actually is Mara? And although he is only in the Brahma world, yet he is so powerful. Who actually is Mara? And although he is in the Brahma world, yet he is so powerful.
He is not in Brahma world. He is only towering at Vasavuddhi, Devava only. But there are five types of Mara. Number one, Khanda Mara. Five aggregates are also called Mara because they always kill beings. Because of this reason, they are called Mara. How they kill? Please listen carefully. When the whole body became very hot bunny, then one may die or not, can die. The whole body became very hot, cannot move, become like stone. Then he can also die. But sometimes such strong, powerful diarrhea cannot stop. Can he die or not? Can die. So four elements, if the four elements are being imbalanced, one person can die. So four, this is five aggregates are, and one Sauda Buddha says as Kila. They kill beings. Not only four elements, other materialities also say. Mentality also say. Sometimes because of unhappiness, some may die, especially in Deva world. Some Deva's glory is very low. Some Deva's glory is very high. They are very beautiful. Their missions are very glorious. So they have a lot jealousy, unhappiness. Seeing others' glory, they feel unhappiness and then very soon they die. So, feeling also can produce to death. In the same way, perception also say, volition and formations are also saying, sometimes, dosa, anger is very strong, they can die. Sometimes attachment, very strong, they can die. So, they are killers. In the same way, consciousness, when consciousness begins unbalanced, at that time also they can die. So, these five aggregates are killers. So they are called Mara. Number one. Number two is Kilesa, defilements. Defilements are also called Mara. If there are no defilements, there will be no new existence. Because karma cannot produce new existence. So if there is no new existence, it is not necessary to say it will die. Not necessary to say, because there is no new existence, so there will be no death. So, because of kilesa, defilements, karma can produce new existence. When karma produces new existence, there will be death. So, because of defilements, death is coming. So, because of this reason, defilements are also called mara, kila. Then death is also sometimes called Mara. Death consciousness. Death consciousness, mind movement, death is also called Mara. Because of death consciousness arise, people die. So death consciousness also killer. So this is called another Mara. Another is Abhisankhara. Abhisankhara means volition and formations or wholesome and unwholesome karmas, which can produce new existence. If they do not produce new existence, there will be no death. If they produce new existence, there will be death. So they are also kila, mara. So altogether, four. Five aggregates, one. Number one, five aggregates. Number two, defilements. Number three, death consciousness. Number four, abhisankhara, bullish, wholesome and unwholesome karmas. Number five is only this mara. This mara is in Vasavuddhi Deva world. It disturbs others only. Disturb means especially he disturbs devotees who pay respect to the three Ratanas, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Why? He He don't want to escape from this round of rebirth. He has no intention to escape from this round of rebirth. In the same way, he had the intention to pull many beings to stay in this round of rebirth only. This is his desire. Because of this reason, he gave a lot of disturbance to the bhikkhus and bhikkhunis only. He is not powerful. He is like a mad dog. Do you afraid of mad dog? In the same way, many good devas and brahmas also afraid of him like mad dog only. Because he may bite to anyone. This is dangerous only. Not powerful like that. He is rover in one in Vasavodhi Deva world. In the corner of Vasavodhi Deva world, there are his accompanies, his leader. Because of this reason, he had a little bit power, only not so powerful. Okay.
Next question, 17. Why are there Buddhist Theravada monasteries that do not have any statues of the Buddha? Why are there Buddhist Theravada monasteries that do not have any statues of the Buddha?
In our Theravada monasteries, usually we put Buddha image, Buddha statue. But not like Mahayana monastery. In Mahayana monasteries, there may be some Buddhas, but in Theravada, only Sakyamuni Buddha. Only one Buddha only. Because in Theravada Vidaka, only one Sakyamuni Buddha is mentioned, not other Buddhas.
Okay. Number 18, why is a Buddha to be born in the human plane and not on other planes? Why is a Buddha to be born in the human plane and not on other planes?
To become Buddha is in human world only. Why human beings can become Buddha? There are both sides. Both sides means Sukha and Dukkha. Our human world is full of Sukha as well as full of... Our human world has present Sukha as well as Dukkha. But in Deva world, in Brahma world, usually there are only happiness. Sukha. Sukha is predominant. In human world, both Sukha as well as Dukkha, both are predominant. But Buddha want to explain Sabbe Sankhara Dukkha, everything is Dukkha. Why? Now you may feel happiness. How long can you maintain this happiness? When this happiness disappears, it begins Dukkha again. So because of this reason, it is very easy to show anicca, dukkha, and anatta in this human world. But in Deva world, especially in Brahma world, their lifespan is very long. Uncountable sometimes. If Buddha teach anicca, dukkha, and anatta, it is not easy to accept. Because of this reason, in our human world, Buddha appear between 100 years lifespan and 100,000 year lifespan. Within these two limitation lifespans only Buddha appears. More than 100,000 years lifespan, at that time Buddha says all are anicca. It is not easy to accept. It is not easy to understand anicca. So to explain anicca, dukkha and anatta in this human world is very easy. But in Deva world, in Brahma world, not easy. So this is one reason. There are also many disciples who will understand Four Noble Truths in this human world. In Deva world also, there are many Devas and many Brahmas. It is true. But they already fulfill Parami in this human world only. After fulfilling their Parami, they are reborn in Deva world and Brahma world. Without fulfilling Parami in this human world, They are not reborn in Devaval and Brahmava. So they are waiting opportunity to understand Four Noble Truths from Devaval and Brahmava only. But in human world, there are sukha as well as dukkha. So to fulfill parami in human world is very easy. In Deva world, there is no beggar. If you want to donate, there will be no receiver. Because everything is ready for them. It is not necessary to cook. It is not necessary to go to market. Everything is ready. So there is no receiver. There is no, although you may want to donate, then there is no receiver. So to fulfill parami is not easy in Deva world. But in human world, it is very easy. Do you want to donate? $1 million. Do you want? Okay, there are many receivers. It is ready. So, this, to fulfill parami in human world is very easy. But to fulfill paramis in Deva world as well as in Brahma world, it is not easy. Because of this reason, every Buddha was born in human world as well as they became Buddha in this human world only.
Question 19. If we cannot finish seeing ultimate reality, and in Vipassana, what should we think of in our final dying moments so that we can continue and not forget our goal for Nibbana? I repeat, if we cannot finish seeing ultimate reality, and in Vipassana, what should we think of in our final dying moments so that we can continue and not forget our goal for Nibbana?
And I know Buddha, there is one story, Samana Deva Buddha. That Deva's previous life, he was bhikkhu. He diligently practiced Samatha Vipassana, but he cannot attain any noble stage. He cannot realize Nibbana, but he practiced diligently Vipassana based on Samatha. But when he is practicing Vipassana, at the day he passed away. He became Deva, but he do not know why. That consciousness in Deva's birth lingering consciousness, between these two there is no interval. Only one mind moment. Within one mind moment he became Deva, he do not understand he became Deva, because he is practicing Vipassana diligently. At the day, there are, for him, there is, his mission is ready. He was reborn in his mission. There are also many deities. Deities understand, this is a bhikkhu, who is coming to our mission. So, he do not understand he was reborn in Deva world. Then they will show, So then they put in front of him one mirror, and they clap. They shouted, and then he opened his eye. When he opened his eye, in mirror, he saw he became Deva. He became very repulsive, because his intention is for realization of Nibbana only. But now he became Deva, so he disappeared. Then quickly he go down to the Buddha. Buddha preached to him, then he became Sotapanna, noble one. So in this story, why he prayed? Before that moment, he is still practicing Vipassana. He contemplates formations as nature, dukkha, and anatta, and then that consciousness appears. So his that proximate cognitive process, manasana, jhavana, takes formations as nature, or dukkha, or anatta. Because of this reason, when he was reborn in Deva world, his birth linking mind moment also take the same object. That birth linking mind moment also understand the nature or dukkha or another nature of these formations. In the same way, his bhavanga mind states, life continuing. When one meditates also understands the nature or dukkha or another nature of these formations. Because of this reason, when he the formations, nature, dukkha, nature, another nature of these formations are predominant in his mind. Because of this reason, when he contemplates these formations as nature or dukkha or another, he can quickly realize Nibbana. This is mentioned in Sotanugata Sutta of Anguttara Nikaya. So, you should know this point. Practice diligently. Before that moment, if you can contemplate formations as nature or dukkha or another, your destination is good destination. If you choose Deva world, you can reborn in Deva world, it is sure. When you reborn in Deva world, then if you contemplate these formations, nature, dukkha, another nature of these formations are predominant in your mind. Because of this reason, if you contemplate these formations as nature, dukkha, another again, then you can quickly realize Nibbana in Deva world. So, when you are still trying vipassana, you may do not realize Nibbana. But you should know this point. Please continue up to that moment. Then, in second future life, you can realize Nibbana. Okay.
Question 20. Can Sayadaw kindly advise how a Buddhist identify which type of body he or she belongs to? Samada, Samasam body, Pacheka body, or Savaka body? Is it predetermined for a Buddhist to strive for any kind of body? If it is predetermined, then does it fall under predetermination idea? If not, then all the sentient beings should be able to attain Buddhahood. But this is not so. Why some of the Buddha disciples are merely regular disciples? Is it because they belong to the regular type that causes them not to wish for becoming chief disciples or great disciples? I'll read it. It's a bit long. Can Sayadaw kindly advise how a Buddhist identify which type of body he or she belongs to? Samasam body, Pacheka body, or Savaka body? Is it predetermined for a Buddhist to strive for any kind of body? If it is predetermined, then does it fall under predetermination idea? If not, then all the sentient beings should be able to attain Buddhahood. But this is not so. Why some of the Buddha disciples are merely regular disciples? Is it because they belong to the regular type that causes them not to wish for becoming chief disciples or great disciples?
Please practice vipassana diligently. When you practice vipassana, if you discern dependent origination, other than you can understand partially. But some meditators, they do not understand when they are practicing dependent origination, because they can discern few past lives only. But when they practice vipassana diligently, when they reach Sankharupaka Jnana stage, the knowledge of equanimity toward formations, at that time, their mind do not incline for realization of Nibbana. Why? At that time, their wish to become Buddha, or to become chief disciple, or to become great disciple, such wish appear in their mind. Okay. For example, one meditator, he already gained definite prophecy under the guidance of one Buddha. When he is practicing vipassana, when he reached Sankharupaka Jnana stage, the image of that definite prophecy appear in his mind. Okay. But he removed this image. Again, he practiced vipassana diligently. When he reached Sankharupaka Jnana stage, again this image appeared. So he had no inclination for realization of Nibbana. He had strong desire to become Buddha only. So at that time only you can say, you are which body? You emphasize which body? But another question is, is it predetermined mind? This is not true. Not because of predetermination. But if you want to become bodhisattva, there are 8 vedas are necessary. But these 8 vedas, most important vedas are, you must be human being, you must be male person, not female. Then you must practice samatha. At that time, you must possess 5 mundane psychic powers. Then you must believe the activity of the law of karma. Then you must be human being or maybe any being, sugati, good destination being. Then another thing is, you must practice vipassana up to Sankharupaka Jnana stage, the knowledge of equanimity towards formations thoroughly. If you want to become rahat under the guidance of any Buddha, while listening one stanza, you can quickly attain rahatship. Such type of parami is necessary. You should have strong, powerful desire. If you can go from this side to the other side, you will attain Buddhahood. But from this side to the other side, between there are many burning charcoals. He will cross. Such type of desire is necessary. Do you want to realize Nibbana? If you want to realize Nibbana, you must go to power. Can you go? So such desire is not enough. Strong, powerful desire is necessary. They can offer their life, they can sacrifice their life for attaining Buddhahood. Such desire must be necessary. So at that time, when they meet with one Buddha, they wish again to become Buddha. At that time, only Buddha will give definite prophecy, niyata pratita. After definite prophecy, they will never change. Before definite prophecy stage, they can change their body. If they want to become rahat, then they can quickly begin rahat. But after definite prophecy, they will never change. So that definite prophecy is necessary. Why is one of the Buddha disciples are merely regular disciples? This depends on their wish only. There are many, many people, many women, many men. They marry not everybody. Why? This is their choice only. Depending on their wish, they can choose to each other only. In the same way, there are savaka body, ordinary savaka body. They are also great disciples. They are also cheap disciples. They choose according to their own wish. One famous example, I will show you. In the time of Dipendra Buddha, there are 3 groups. One is our bodhisattva, Sumedha Isi, Hamed. Sumedha Hamed wished for to become Buddha. This is his desire, his wish. But behind, there is one lady called Sumedha. Sumedha wished for to become the follower of our bodhisattva, to fulfill his parami only. This is her wish. Behind Sumedha, there is also 2,000, maybe more than 2,000 ladies. They wish to become disciples of Gautama Buddha only. Or they want to realize Four Noble Truths and they know Gautama Buddha only. They are ordinary Savakas, ordinary disciples only. So there are three groups. They must cross four Asankhya and 100,000 aeons. These are same. But because of their wish and their barami, they begin jipa. They have different results. So our bodhisattva begin Buddha. Yasodhara, Sumedha begin Yasodhara. Then she begin Arahat. But the remaining more than 2,000 ladies, they also begin ordinary disciples only. Because depending on their wish only. So, depending on their wish, they fulfill parami. But depending on their parami and their wish, they begin disciples, ordinary disciples, they begin great disciples, they begin chief disciples, etc.
Question 21. If someone ordains as a bhikkhu or was ordained in previous lives, does it mean that he will definitely meet the future Buddha if he still has not escaped from samsara? Then Sayadaw, tell us the benefits and merits of ordination as a bhikkhu. I repeat, if someone ordains as a bhikkhu or was ordained in previous lives, does it mean that he will definitely meet the future Buddha if he still has not escaped from samsara? Then Sayadaw, please tell us the benefits and merits of ordination as a bhikkhu.
It depends on their barami and their wish only. But some bhikkhus, if they do not practice three types of training, the training of morality, the training of concentration, and the training of wisdom, their future is not sure. For example, in Dainogaspa Buddha, there are some bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, samaniras, samaniris, and sikhamanas. They do not obey Vinaya rules. They stay according to their own desire. They openly stay, they eat dinner, they touch money, etc. They do everything they want to do. So after death, they reborn in hell. When they escape from hell, in time of our Buddha, or before in time of our Buddha, they begin Vedas, ghosts in the sky. They are bhikkhus, but their robes are shining with paya, burning with paya. Their bowls are also burning with paya. They cannot give up. Why? When they are beginning bhikkhu or bhikkhuni or samarira or samariri or sikhamana, at that time they did not, without observing purification of bhaju, they do not give up this rope. They always use this rope. Because of this reason, when they are suffered in this sky, such sufferings, they cannot put out these ropes. So such bhikkhus are now still in the sky. Still suffering dukkha. Although they meet with our Buddha's dispensation, they are still suffering. So, everybody who ordained as a bhikkhu is not sure to meet the future Buddha. Depends on their purification of bhaju and the concentration and wisdom. If they do not try to purify their bhaju, if they do not meditate, they have no concentration, they have no wisdom faculty, then it is not sure. They may reborn in some one of hopeful states only. Then, Kinsiyaro tell us the benefits and merits of ordination as a bhikkhu. If they practice Noble Eightfold Path or the three types of training, the training of morality, the training of concentration, and the training of wisdom, they may feel happiness in this very life. as well as if there is any future existence, they may feel happiness in good place. But if they do not fulfill these three types of trainings, we cannot say exactly he will meet with future Buddha or not sure. But if they practice the three trainings or Noble Eightfold Path successfully up to Arhat stage, then they can begin Arhat. When they begin Arhat, one day they will take Pranibbana, final cessation, and then they will attain Nibbana. This is what called last or top benefit when they ordain as a bhikkhu only. So Buddha permit the ordination for realization of Nibbana or to attain Rahatship only. If they gain attain Rahatship, then this is highest benefit only.
Question 22. Someone who wishes to be a bodhisattva can only practice to the Sankara Upekkha Jnana stage, knowledge of equanimity about formations, and cannot proceed to Sotapatti, Magga, and Parinibbana stage. Does it mean that he might still fall into Apaya Bhumi, woeful states? Does it mean that those who wish to become a Buddha should not be afraid of reborn in Apaya Bhumi, just like Tathagata once was a bodhisattva, was reborn in Niraya and animal realms for many lives? I repeat, someone who wishes to be a bodhisattva can only practice up to the Sankara Upakara Jnana stage, knowledge of equanimity about formations, and cannot proceed to Sotapatti, Magga, and Parinibbana stage. Does it mean that he might still fall into Apaya Bhumi, woeful states? Does it mean that those who wish to become a Buddha should not be afraid of reborn in Apaya Bhumi, just like Tathagata once, as a bodhisattva, was reborn in Niraya and animal realms for many lives?
If they gained definite prophecy, when they are practicing Vipassana, they can practice after Sankharupaka Jnana stage only. Because, I had to explain, when they practice Vipassana systematically after Sankharupaka Jnana stage, when they reach Sankharupaka Jnana stage, if they try hard for realization of Nibbana, other than they cannot go. Why? Their definite prophecy other than appear in their mind. Because of this reason, their mind also does not incline for realization of Nibbana. They want to become Buddha only. But for ordinary persons, if they practice Vipassana diligently up to Sankharupaka Jnana stage, in this very life, if they does not attain or does not realize Nibbana, in second future life, it is sure to realize Nibbana. At that time, they will free from poor abaya sufferings. They will never reborn in poor abaya sufferings. But poor bodhisattvas, after definite prophecy, they must fulfill paramis at least 4 asinkriya in 100,000 eons. Between this lifetime, they may reborn sometimes in one of 4 hopeful states. This is their nature only. Whether they are afraid of 4 hopeful states or not, I don't know exactly, because I cannot read their mind. But their nature can be possible to be reborn as an animal, etc.
Question 23. I heard that Arya Maitreya Bodhisattva practiced Bodhisattva path earlier than Gautama Buddha, but attained Buddhahood later. Does Arya Maitreya Bodhisattva belong to Vipachitanu or Niyaya type of Bodhisattva? Is it because a longer time is needed to practice bodhisattva path that causes the land during the period of Arya, Matiya, Sasana to be more excellent and beautiful?
Rimidya bodhisattva, fulfill parami. Many asankhyas. Maybe I forget, maybe 8 asankhyas. So if we measure the pero, our bodhisattva of the definite prophecy, he fulfilled parami for asankhya and 100,000 aeons only. But remedial bodhisattva of the definite prophecy, he must fulfill 8 asankhya and 100,000 aeons. So, we can say this remedial bodhisattva is earlier than our bodhisattva, who attained bodhisattva, who began bodhisattva. This is only of the definite prophecy only. Before definite prophecy, who is past? We cannot say easily because it is take long time. Then another is Maitreya Bodhisattva belongs to Vibhishi Dinyu or Niya Bhasa. Vibhishi Dinyu and Niya distinguish to the Savakas only, disciples only. For example, Vinariva Sariputta, when he is listening one stanza from Vinariva, Vinariva Asaji, Yirama Hidu Babhava Desa Hidu Tathagato Aha, Desenja Yo Nirodo Eyangwadi Mahasamano, relating Four Noble Truths. He begins Sotapanna. This is called Ogadi Dinyu Bhasa. But Pai Guru Bhikkhus, Pinchavagiya Bhikkhus, when listening to Machaka Bodhana Sutta, Vinariva Guninya alone can become Sotapanna. This person is called, such type of person is called Vibhishi Dinyu Bhasa. When expounding Dhamma in a long way, at that time only he can understand Four Noble Truths. Such type of person is called Vibhishi Dinyu Bhasa. But Vinariva Vabha, Vinariva Mahanama, Vinariva Asaji, They are not Vibhishi Dinyu Bhasas. They must practice diligently according to this Dhammacakka Bodhana Sutta, Four Noble Truth ways. They must contemplate the Noble Truth of suffering Dhammas, Dukkha-sijja Dhammas. These are ultimate materiality and mentality. They must contemplate the noble truth of the origin of suffering dhammas. They are dependent origination fetters. These two types of dhammas they must contemplate as nature, dukkha, anatta for a long time. For 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day, etc. At that time only they begin sotapannas. Such type of persons are called near persons. But for bodhisattvas, it is not distinguished. Only parami is distinguished. Number one is pinyadiga. Number two is vuriyadiga. Number three is sadhadiga. Pinyadiga means when they are fulfilling parami, they emphasize pinya, wisdom. So such persons, such type of bodhisattvas must fulfill parami for asankhya and 100,000 aeons. Some bodhisattvas, when they are fulfilling parami, they emphasize vriya, they try hard. Such bodhisattvas, they must fulfill parami of the definite prophecy, 8 asankhya and 100,000 aeons. Some bodhisattvas, they emphasize complete sattva. When they are fulfilling their paramis. So such type of bodhisattvas must Brides must fulfill their barami of that definite prophecy. 60 asankhya, 100,000 years. This only differ.
Question 24. What is the difference between the Mahasi Sayado Vipassana and Pa'au Sayado Vipassana methods?
There is no Pa'au Sayado Vipassana method. And this according to Pali text only. This is not my method. I don't want to criticize Mahasi Sayado because he is my first Kamathanacharya meditation teacher. But he teach directly Vipassana, but they do not emphasize number one, Samatha. Number two, they do not try to discern ultimate materiality. Number three, they do not try to discern ultimate mentality. Number four, they do not try to discern dependent origination to understand by their own direct knowledge. But usually we teach according to Pali. First, you must practice Samatha. Why? Bhikkhus develop concentration. A bhikkhu who has concentrated mind understands the dhammas as they really are. What does he will understand as it really is? He will understand as it really is. This is the noble truth of suffering, etc. So, to understand the noble truth as they really are, concentration is necessary. Because of this reason, we teach first concentration, Samatha meditation. After Samatha, we teach how to discern ultimate materiality. Then we teach how to discern ultimate mentality. Then we teach how to discern dependent origination. After that, only we teach Vipassana. This is only difference. No? 9:30. Today, let us stop here. Sharing merit. Idame bonya. Asawakhaya. Waha hodu. Idame bonya. Nibhanasa. Pachayo hodu idame bonya sabha sadhanam vajima te sabhe mesama bonya bhaga labhandu sadhu.